The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 51, Go Getters Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, welcome back to the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And tonight, we are here to discuss the fifth episode of Season 7, Go Getters.
Yes.
So we are over the hump for the first half, basically.
And what a hump it is.
Oh, gosh. It feels like it's a huge hump. Anyway, this episode was written by Channing Powell and directed by Darnell Martin. Go Darnell.
Yeah. Who you can't tell for sure by those two names, but those are both women. So,
oh, interesting.
I didn't think that Darnell Martin was a woman, but I looked her up and sure enough, she is.
Well, how about that?
Hmm.
Well, all right, let's get into our news, info, ratings, etc., etc.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right, I'm not going to hold any punches. Ratings this week were... We are seeing some really bad ratings. I mean, we're down to season three levels at this point. The worst ratings in the 18 to 49 demographic since season three, episode six, Hounded. And that was the one that Merle kind of hunted Michonne, if you remember. And speaking of Merle, it was the worst in total viewers since season three, episode 15's This Sorrowful Life, when the sorrowful life known as Merle ended.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead, it got a 5.17 in the 18 to 49 demographic. And for the first time in a very long while, it did not crack 11 million. It got 10.996 million. Good try, but unfortunately didn't quite make it. So that's versus last week, which is 5.40 and 11.402. Talking Dead was slightly lower, not nearly as much of a decrease, but it was slightly lower from last week. It got a 1.69 in the 18 to 49 with 3.738 million. And that's versus last week's 1.71 and 3.797 million.
Well,
so.
All right.
The trend is not so good.
No, I mean, if you go by the whole, you know, this week's ratings are really actually reflecting how people felt about the previous week. That to me makes much more sense because I didn't like last week, as you guys all know.
And a lot of people also felt similar. Actually, I didn't like it either. So there you go. Something I should have mentioned as far as news last week and why I didn't, I don't know. Did you get to see Dave Chappelle's skit on Saturday Night Live?
Yes, that was so funny.
Yeah.
I love Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend checking it out. He did a pretty spot-on imitation of Negan, and instead of it being, you know, the characters that in the lineup that we love, it was all of his characters from Dave Chappelle's show. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. So anyway, wanted to mention that. Another piece of news, and you might be able to better talk about this one than I can, because I have still not seen Stranger Things.
Well.
So do you want to take it?
Yeah.
No pressure.
Well, I'll just read what you wrote, because I didn't find this myself. Millie Bobby Brown, who plays Eleven on Stranger Things, expressed her interest for being on The Walking Dead while doing a panel at Rhode Island Comic Con. The moderator asked her if there are any roles she has her eye on. She responded, "There's this one show I just want to be on so badly. I've tried everything to get on The Walking Dead. I don't even care if I'm a zombie, and I do know that Negan is here today." Coupled with an amazing zombie impression, she got the audience very excited. I would love to see her on The Walking Dead. She is one amazing little actress.
Hmm. I have heard her name bantied about, but I still haven't had a chance to watch Stranger Things. I was hoping, well, might dig into it over the Thanksgiving weekend. I don't know.
Well, you'll be able to definitely finish it, because it's so good, and it just runs so fast before you even know it. I mean, a lot of people I know have finished it in like a day, but it's so good.
Yeah.
And the Walking Dead people, producers, AMC, everyone out there, if you're listening, I know you are, get her.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Super cool.
I think you had a public service announcement to make.
Sure, we can call it that.
I don't know what else to call it.
I don't know. It's been brought to my attention that I was really negative last time, and that perhaps I should no longer do the show. I just have to say, I will really, really, really try to do better, but I'm really asking for honest opinions and feedback about it, not harshly posting it out there for all the world to see on Twitter, but to tell me what you think, if I'm being too negative and maybe I should take a step back or something and let Brian do it with a sub, or should I just try and soldier on? I mean, I really, really tried last week to not be so negative. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry. I tried. I couldn't help it. I hated that episode. So sorry. But anyway. Well,
I don't think that you were more negative than I expected it to be. I know that I think it slightly, maybe a little, affected my enjoyment, because I knew you were going to hate it. But to that, and to anyone else that, you know, thinks that maybe you should step down, I say this. Wrong answer. You should keep going. That's the answer. And speak your mind. And I think that's what everybody wants. So, you know, I know it's up to the show to get its act together, I think. And, you know, hopefully it won't fall too far off the cliff. But, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll try to love the show enough for both of us.
Good. Well, if you don't like it either, then it's really hard for you to bring me up. So
yeah, and
I mean, I wasn't trying to bring you down, but I can't help it. If I don't like it, I'm not going to lie and say, "Oh yeah, it was great." I'm sorry. I didn't like it. I couldn't really find the problem was, honestly, I couldn't find any redeeming qualities about the episode last week. So that's really why I was irritated, because usually if I don't like an episode, I can still find something about it to be positive about. But last week, I just couldn't.
Well, I will say this, and this is kind of sort of a preview for tonight. But I think that, you know, what I was looking for last week was a few rays of sunshine to shine in just a little bit to show that, you know, we've got some fight that's gonna come in, and there just wasn't enough. It was too depressing, too, you know, it was just maybe a little too much. And you know, I think I said on Facebook yesterday that, you know, I am fully invested in this show and will, you know, keep, you know, it is my show. I love this show. I just want to see them defeat Negan and get back on top. And I want to see that as soon as possible. And I don't think I am in the minority with that. People out there, you may love or like Negan, but I think you still want to see, you know, Rick and the group defeat him, don't you? I mean, if you want Negan to win, you're just people that I can't understand.
You're just weird.
Yeah.
You like to kick puppy dogs? I'm just kidding.
We got, we'll get into it a little bit later in feedback, but Monica kind of addressed this a little bit in her feedback from about last week's episode. So
yeah,
and GoFundMe update. Let's do that now versus late in the show. Let's do that now.
Okay. I got a computer. I was able to get the one that I had my eye on. I wanted to go ahead and do it before it ran out because it's a refurbished computer. So it's not like, you know, they just can endlessly make more because they have to wait. Anyway, I wanted to make sure that I got it. So I had to dip into my, my insurance money that I used to pay my car insurance. So thank you very much to everyone who has donated. Honestly, I have to look really quick to see if I've gotten any new donations besides from Brian, even though I told him not to since the last time I donated. But, I did. I got more. Oh, you guys spoil me. I got more from Lara and I got more from Mark Olivier Dufour. Thank you guys so much. I still have about $200 that I have to pay back my insurance. So if you guys want to continue to donate to that so that I can also pay my car insurance, that would be great. If not, I'll work it out. So
yeah.
Anyway,
so
I have until January the 5th to pay my insurance. So it's not like it's next week or something, but
yeah.
Anyway, so I've got until January to pay myself back for that. But if I don't get enough for that, I'll, I don't know, beg my dad or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure we'll get you pretty close at least. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So why don't you tell everybody what you got?
Oh, well, I got a 2012 Mac Mini that has it's been refurbished. It was like new. So it was in mint. It said mint like new condition. And it looks like it's pretty much in like new condition. It has a 1 terabyte hard drive plus a, 225 gigabyte solid state drive or something. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, 240, I think. It's probably 225 like after formatting.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing. It is so fast. I just don't even know what to do with myself. And I mean, I feel like it's not just four times faster. It's like exponentially faster than, my old MacBook Pro. So it's crazy. Like I click on something and it's there and I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
You now have a much better computer than mine.
Yeah. It's so cool. I love this thing so much. And I'm pretty sure that I can upgrade it further as far as getting more solid state drives in there should I choose in the future. So,
well, that is very cool and very, very, very good news.
I know. And I never would have been able to do it without all of you guys who donated to me. So thank you so very much. We are looking forward to a problem-free recording tonight.
And if any problems happen, they'll be on my end.
Yeah.
That's not what I wanted. I wanted this. Aww.
We'll do it live!
Yeah, doing it live. All right, let's move on to our talking points or discussion or whatever you want to call it. Our ratings, discussion, talking, something.
All right.
I don't know. I can't remember if you have a clip for this or not.
No, not yet. Well, I had one that we didn't like.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. Well, I will just go into this.
Hold on to your hats. The big one is coming to the Silverdome this Saturday night, 8 p.m. WKBD, TV 50, and 101 FM, WR.
That's right. We have...
Car crushing.
Eight point five car crushing action.
That is hilarious. Is that yours? 8.5 car crushing action.
Yes, I really, really like this episode a lot. I can't rate it any higher because it also had a lot of issues. So I could have even rated it lower, but I tried to rate it more on the spirit of the episode and what it was trying to get across rather than some of its rather blatant faults, which are many.
Ah.
So 8.5 is probably appropriate, but it's a good 8.5.
Okay, sorry. I just had my wrong notes out, so I had to find the right notes. I was like, oh, crap. That's last week. Don't want to go there again. Okay. 8. I am going to give it 8.25 roller skates.
8.25 roller skates. I don't have an effect for roller skates.
That's okay. All right, Malika gives it 9.56789. Very enthusiastic Jesuses.
Jesus! I have been looking for a Jesus soundbite, but I haven't found one yet that was good. So maybe next time. Cutter gave it 8 out of 10 green balloons.
9 and 9 cigarette balloons. Actually, it's rot balloon.
Yeah.
That's funny. Kyle says, I will give this episode 8.7 missing hilltop citizens during the nighttime walker offensive out of 10.
Yes, and he has more about that, and so do I.
All right, sweet.
Dieta says, my rating is 8 out of 10 Monster Jam Truck Shows, or should I say, Monster Jam Truck Shows.
That's funny. All righty, then. Lara gives it 9 out of 10 finely aged bottles of scotch. That's finely, not finally. That's okay. Finely aged bottles of scotch. We got a couple of other reviews and maybe a couple awesome sauces in the audio. Maybe just one. Anyway, if you didn't hear yours yet, don't worry, it's coming.
Yes. All right. Speaking of that,
let's move on to awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. Okay, we have awesome sauce from the Twitterverse.
Yes.
Ken from Chicago says, Maggie Ree, I believe we have our awesome sauce moment. And he hashtagged awesome sauce because Ken from Chicago is awesome.
Yes, he is our Twitter friend.
Yes,
yeah,
because he's not on Facebook. So he tweets us. And I'm not very good at Twitter, but he helps me be better.
This is our home now. So you'll learn to start to call me by my name. Not Marcia, not dear, not honey. Maggie. Maggie Ree.
Yeah, and I put that in the notes first because that was going to be my first awesome sauce because I absolutely loved her saying that.
Yeah, it definitely gave me the feels. All right, what's your other first awesome sauce then?
All right. Well, I kind of already used it, but I've got to give it to the car crushing abilities of Maggie.
That is so funny. That is one of my awesome sauces as well. Tractor Maggie following doctor's orders and staying off her feet.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That was a highlight.
What's your next one? Let's go on to your next one.
All right. Well, I will say Enid and Carl with young love and first kiss.
Aw, I'm pretty sure they kissed before, though.
Well, they came close to, but we never actually saw it. But this was
they the kissed first... in the tree.
Did they?
They did. So everybody who's saying it was their first kiss is wrong.
Okay.
They kissed in the tree.
Well, still.
Because then we had the sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-D. You know, standing in a tree, whatever.
And that wasn't the only kissy face in the episode. Michonne and Rick kissy facing.
Got some kissy face. Oh, yeah. They seriously got some Michonne.
Yep.
I had that too. Like them roller skating down the street, holding hands. I was like, oh, again, the feels. My next awesome sauce, though, aside from that, is Maggie punches Gregory.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, that was so cool. Do you have another awesome sauce?
The Jesus puns. You know, I will never get tired of it, but things like, what do you want, Jesus? And, you know.
Jesus, what do you think?
Yeah. All of those uses of Jesus that never gets tired. You know, Jesus saves.
Yep.
Jesus will save us all.
Yep.
And yeah. So Jesus.
Jesus has a beautiful British accent.
Overall, Ninja Jesus.
Ninja Jesus. That was, I pretty much had that one too. I wrote Jesus exclamation point and then Ninja Jesus. Oh my gosh. Yep.
Yep.
That was pretty much everything I had too.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Except for Maggie punching Gregory.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for my awesome sauce.
All right. Why don't you read our first listener awesome sauce?
Well, Laura had actually several. So rather than give it now, we're just going to give it in her feedback later. But Dieta had awesome sauce was, of course, the Hilltop Monster Jam with Maggie, Sasha, and Jesus. They were kicking some zombie booty.
Yeah, they were. All right, Malika says, my awesome sauce is the last 30 seconds where Jesus gets on the truck, takes a swig of the scotch, and then Carl pops up, setting up for some big stuff, I bet.
Yeah, and in fact, Malika has multiple awesome sauce. Her second is Maggie setting Gregory straight. Well, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, no kidding. My name is Maggie, not Marta, honey, sweetie, sugar.
Yeah, Marcia. I kept thinking, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Yeah. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. All right, her third awesome sauce is Jesus, everything Jesus.
Yeah. All right, and like we said, we have some coming in voicemail, so in our feedback. So now it's time for...
You're worthless and weak!
Weak sauce. All right, Dieta says, Gregory, a.k.a. Chicken Little, he got his liquor stash taken for being a jackass.
Yeah, I had that, actually. I said... how did I put it? That Gregory is not just a dick, but he is a douche. He's still a douche. He was a douche when we saw him back last season, and he is still a douche now.
Yeah.
Or as you called him, as you used last week, douche nozzle.
Douche nozzle. Oh, gosh, that's funny. Yeah. Well, I think it's worse than that, though. It's like Sonequa Martin Green was saying on Talking Dead, he's a coward, and coward is someone who cares more about their own life than the lives of others, which is a very dangerous thing. So yeah, I think Gregory is not long for this world. He's got to go.
Yeah. And let's see what else we got.
Any other weak sauce? Do you have a weak sauce?
Oh, I certainly do.
Well, then let's have it.
Well, the whole thing that went down with, Carl. So here's Enid. She's driving her bicycle and she sees a single walker and somehow gets all freaked out. And then all of a sudden you see Carl just whoosh in. hit this walker and then, you know, smash up the car and then back into him again, smash up the car. And obviously, I guess he smashed up the car so badly that it wouldn't drive anymore, although the window still worked. But they then, like, what happened to the bike? Where did it go? And, you know, then, you know, miraculously, you know, part two of that, then they're just walking. They're going to walk to Hilltop and God knows how long that'll take them. They find these roller skates, and the roller skates were cool, but I mean, what a contrivance, I thought. But my main gripe with that was the whole, like, Enid has a bicycle, freaks out from one walker because she can take care of herself. And yet, you know, and what happened to the bicycle?
I don't know. They should have kept the bicycle, but you're right. That's kind of a weak sauce. They could have taken turns riding the bike and being, you know, pulling the other person on the roller skates that they found, but they ditched the bike. So,
right.
I think what's more fantastic rather than finding a pair of roller skates is finding a pair of roller skates that fit you.
Yes.
But I thought, well, whatever. Because it's kind of like, I mean, I think 99% of the time, maybe not that high, maybe like 80% of the time, if there is no coincidence, there's no TV show. So I think you kind of have to allow a certain amount of coincidence. I mean, to me, I'm like, if I can say, well, why wouldn't there be a pair of roller skates there? I mean, sure, it could happen. Then I guess I'm okay with it. But I can see how you would be not okay with it. All right. Anything else?
Yes. There was also the, I will call it weak, although I loved the whole thing with Maggie and Jesus and Sasha, you know, defeating these walkers. Where was everybody else? And how did the saviors break into the grounds, somehow, you know, get the gate open and lock? It seemed like they locked everyone in, set fires without anybody, you know, and bring in the walkers, of course, and nobody detects it until the gremlin shows up. I mean, it was a little bit far-fetched, a lot of bit far-fetched. So,
okay.
It was one of those things, you know, I allowed it because of the spirit of it, but still, it was pretty shaky, I thought. I mean, Hilltoppers, I guess that's how you would call them, Hilltoppers. We know that they're not exactly fierce warriors, but I mean, we only saw two of them besides Jesus actually get involved. And it was only after Maggie said something, you know, get those doors and, you know, get the gates. But we never actually saw them get the gates. So maybe they did, maybe they didn't. All right.
Well, they were locked in and they're not ninjas. So, you know.
Yes, but they were. Well, anyway. And then, of course, we saw Weasel Gregory just like look like he took one look and decided to go back to bed.
Yeah. Hide in his room. Well, you know. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it for me. What about you? Okay. Do you have any weak sauce?
No, I don't have any weak sauce.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's move on to our feedback/discussion portion of the episode.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. We got something from our last episode. It's from Monica. Do you want to go ahead and read that?
We actually got two things for our last episode. So,
okay. So we got something from Monica for our last episode. Do you want to go ahead and read that?
Monica said, "Oh, you two, I feel so bad that you're feeling so deflated about this show and how bad it's making you feel right now. And I totally agree with you. But do you know what keeps me watching? Brian, you may not remember, but I joined this group and posted my thoughts for the very first time on season 6, episode 11's Knots Untie. Strangely enough, another Gregory episode. I joined because what I was feeling then is what you all are feeling now. My post had two main points. First was, how did our group become killers? Ruthie replied as cheery as possible to help me. Thanks. And the second point was, why would we all want to watch our beloved show if the storyline was going to start getting really dark, as it seemed to be at the time? Well, guess what? You are reacting now exactly as I was back then. Today, you're saying who wants to watch if it's just making us feel icky inside, makes us watch just how bad Negan can make Rick, Daryl, and all of them squirm under his insane control? Well, there was a small hopeful part of Ruthie's reply back then that I can give you now. It's when Ruthie said, remember the sign on the gate, vengeance to the plunderers. They even showed Rick looking at it at the very end of this past episode. They'll do that. And while I didn't fully agree with her at the time, I went with that. And I had to take a step back and remind myself, this too shall pass, in good old Lord of the Rings tradition. And so I keep watching because I enjoy this group, enjoy listening to all of you and your views and sharing our opinions and different things we see, working through it together. This is the fun part of it. It's why you do it. So while we are in a dark place right now that no one is enjoying, I think that victory will be that much sweeter during season 8. So please don't give up. Keep looking for the good in each show, because when the show eventually ends, we won't have this anymore. And so I shall wait for this to pass. And until the next show, I'm thinking about how Eugene is going to make Rosita that bullet. And then some. Keep the faith, she says with a smiley face.
Thank you, Monica. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I think
I do sort of remember that episode.
Yeah. And those are wise words, I think.
Yes. Thank you for the little boost. I appreciate it. I will read Dieta's from last week as well. She says, Bruthie, that is our podcast name. Sorry. Brian. Yes, exactly. Brian and Ruthie, you guys are on point. This season is becoming painful to watch. Just because it's in the comic doesn't mean it's good for TV. I said this is going to be a long season. If they don't get it together, this is going to be my watch if I don't have anything else to watch show. Westworld on Sunday at 9 p.m. from now on. LOL. And I have to say, I actually was doing something else Sunday and didn't watch any of my normal Sunday shows on Sunday. So,
oh, rub it in.
Okay.
I just mean, since I have no social life, I'm of course watching. Although I didn't get to do it last week, so you know, but that was for other reasons. Anyway, okay. Point noted, Dieta, and we'll get through it together, I would say. All right. Malika has the first feedback for this episode. She says, okay, I'm throwing in after not participating this season yet. That's how it's done. I am now back to being excited about watching this show. They had me coming back with the Kingdom episode, but then kind of lost me again with the last two. I can't wait to see what happens next, though I'm feeling a tad reserved about a possible future Tara and Heath-centric episode, but that could surprise me in a good way. We're back! She says,
oh, I think that's supposed to be, we're back.
True enough.
All right.
What is that? Is that a champagne bottle? Okay.
Yes. Champagne bottle.
And a smiley face with sunglasses.
My future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. All right. Cutter says, while the overall pacing of this season drives me crazy, I get it. From a storytelling perspective, this season is great. We're given every reason to hate and despise Negan and the Saviors, which hopefully, eventually, is going to come down to an awesome payoff. It's frustrating because it seems so slow, but ultimately necessary to fit all of the pieces in the puzzle. This episode is just another piece where you see that Maggie, Sasha, and Carl are not broken. For the record, I think Rick is a little bent right now, but not completely broken either. And Daryl is the wild card up Rick's sleeve. The constant psychological warfare that Negan employs, both within and without, may ultimately be his undoing. We almost have all of the players back on the board now, and it will be a sight to behold once it's all in play. The only question is, who will get to take out Negan in the end? I'm hoping it's Maggie holding Lucille, but I really think it'll be Daryl to pay for his guilt.
Ooh. I would like to see all sorts of combinations. I would like to see multiple people get Negan at once.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to have at least as good of a death scene as the governor got. I mean, he got off by like three separate people.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Rick, then Michonne, then what's her face? Can't
Maggie?
Think of her name. Not no, was it Meg? The one that looked like Maggie.
What? You're talking about the governor. I thought you were talking about...
Yeah. No, Tara's sister.
Sorry. Yeah, her sister. Okay, I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about who's going to get Negan. I was like, okay, Michonne, I can... Okay, I guess. And then I was like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
All right, next we have Kyle. He says, overall, I really enjoyed this episode. After the premiere, I wanted to go with Maggie and Sasha and see what would happen at the Hilltop. At the Hilltop, I didn't at all understand what was happening when it was dark and the walkers were coming in and the music. I felt like it was a dream sequence, and I told myself that like it was Maggie having some stress dream because of losing Glenn or something. Then Jesus, all kung fu walker action with a heaping monster truck. I know it was a tractor, just go with it. Car crush, Maggie power hour. Until it was over, it was like, WTF did I just watch? But then we're back, and all was good. Well, mostly. Negan's men show up and start being a-holes. Can they be anything else? Gregory shows us how pathetic he is, and trying to give up Maggie and Sasha to Negan's men, but Jesus saves! Basically, Maggie is probably going to take over the Hilltop, which I'm completely fine with. I just wonder what will happen to Gregory, if he will live or die or just go crawl into a hole and disappear with his empty bottle of scotch. I really don't like him. The Carl and Enid roller skating was nice. In the need a break from all the apocalyptic horrors we've been going through for the last four episodes? Okay, thanks. Back to it. Whew. Well, my questions are with Maggie, Enid, Sasha, and what they are going to do with the newly formed Teen Girl Squad. And Carl in back of the van. WTF do you think you are doing? Rick is so going to ground you. I've enjoyed the season so far and haven't had some of the issues some y'all have had. Doesn't the Hilltop have more people living there than what we even saw in that Walker offensive scene? Or did I miss something? In other musings, is helium just in abundant supply for those green balloons she put on Glenn's grave? I guess we missed her visit to that local CVS to grab a travel-size balloon inflator during Carl and her roller skating epic. You know, I'm really glad that you mentioned the helium balloons, because I thought of that too, and then I didn't write it down. So, where did she had the balloons, but where did the helium come from?
That's an excellent question. I didn't realize that they were sticking up so straight until I read that feedback. And then I was like, oh, they were kind of like a bit much on the, you know. Like, balloons can be inflated, but kind of droopy, just hanging there. But those were definitely, like, you know.
Yes.
Helium. But yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know where she got the helium, but I just chalked that up to a production fail.
And I don't think that she could blow hot air like that.
I doubt it. Not.
That's a lot on the rim shot.
Not like that. And technically, she put them on Abraham's grave.
Yeah, that was the other thing, too.
That was so funny.
I don't think, I don't think we're supposed to like Gregory. There's not much to like, except for maybe the actor who plays him.
Oh, yeah. Xander Berkeley is amazing.
Yeah. And as far as the Walker offensive scene, I did not figure that out at first, about basically the saviors locking everyone in. But there was a clue there in what Simon said. And didn't he play a good little, junior Negan, you know, I got a kick out of it. You know, he's really good. I didn't really know him before this show, but you know, I know a lot of people like him that have seen him before. I think the whole objective there was they were, you know, gonna throw these walkers in the hilltop and, you know, everyone would be kind of, at the mercy of the, saviors to come in the next morning and clear everything out just to say, you know, it'd be a tragedy if, this kind of thing would, happen to your village, you know.
Yes, good. That was a terrible gangster, but yes.
Of course, yes, it was. I wasn't going for good.
I know. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, I mean, they pretty much created a problem that they could come clean up, but they handled it themselves. So.
Yeah.
So that. Suck it, saviors! Jesus is the only savior!
Yeah. And Gregory tries to give up the, you know, give up Maggie and Sasha, and instead he loses his best scotch.
That's hilarious. He took the whole box.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All right. You know, we should have interspersed some of our audio, but I guess we're just going to have it all at the end. Our next bit of feedback is, written feedback, I should say, is from Dieta, who says, "It was good seeing Maggie and Sasha again, but I'm confused. I thought Rick took the bodies back with them in the RV. Because how did a sick Maggie and Sasha carry two bodies to the hilltop? And why bury them at the hilltop instead of Alexandria? The hilltop is not their home. Then we saw fresh graves at Alexandria, and I know one was supposed to be Maggie throwing off Negan, but there was another grave freshly dug as well. Anywho, how does this reign of Negan supposed to work for our group? I mean, they took all of their guns, so wouldn't it be wise to go out and get more guns, but instead of bringing them back to Alexandria, find a place outside to hide and store them, only letting minimum people know where they are located? ! Or has Negan really done such a job on Rick that he has totally lost all of his fight? We saw Rick and Aaron go off to find something interesting for Negan's next visit. Whatever possibly could that be? Rosita and Eugene making bullets, Sasha and Maggie at Hilltop, Michonne off sitting on cars, Carol and Morgan at the Kingdom, Carl stowing away in backs of trucks, Tara just gone, and Daryl stuck with Negan. The group is split again. Everybody is off doing their own things. Why aren't they strategizing on how to take Negan down and get revenge for our group? I mean, seriously, Rick has lost a lot of people along the way. Why are these deaths affecting him so much? Maggie and Sasha will be known as the dynamic duo with their sidekick, Enid. Loved the kill scene at the hilltop, but why were everybody's doors locked? Jesus jumps off a balcony. Maggie and Sasha jump off the trailer roof, and where was everybody else? Gregory, old scary butt, just looks out the window. How can he not have anybody watching the gates to alert them of unwelcomed guests? Well, we saw Jesus with his expert karate moves. Maggie and Sasha kill all the walkers, nobody else. They couldn't possibly slept through that whole thing. Loved the scenes with Enid and Carl skating through the apocalypse, and when they kissed, I was like, aww, how sweet. And she's got some kissy faces and faces with heart eyeballs.
Cool.
So yeah, I don't know why they're not strategizing. I'm with you. I think that they should be doing some kind of planning or something. And I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm with you as well about the taking all of their guns and how are they supposed to do that? How they're going to protect themselves? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I don't like Negan. So there. I also thought that Rick took the bodies back with them to, Alexandria, not the hilltop. So I was pretty surprised that they just took them there. And I don't have any idea how the two of them lugged those bodies. I guess they put them in the back of a truck and drove the truck to the rest of the way to the hilltop. I don't know, but still.
Negan left a truck.
He did, yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, obviously that now that's what the one that, I mean, that must have been, they put it in the back of the truck, but I guess that's the truck that Sasha drove Maggie to the hilltop in.
That's what I think happened. But you know, that asked the question. I think Dieta said that is like who were in the graves over at, Alexandria, you know, you know, then of course there's the, thing that, they still, that Negan thinks that, Maggie's dead. So I wonder how that's going to, you know, transpire. Cause eventually he's going to find out that she's not dead. And, I don't know how he's going to take that. Probably not too well in, his famous way of saying things, which is too much.
Yeah. Okay. So we have some audio feedback. Yay!
Yes. So the first bit of feedback is from Lara.
Wait, hold on a sec. Honey, I'm talking to Jesus. Oh, my steel magnolias, how I love this episode. I laughed, I cheered, I cried, and I am not a crier. I barely spilled a drop from my cold, cynical heart in episode one, but Sasha and Maggie mourning over the graves of their men just broke my heart. And is it weird that I love the episodes without Negan and hate the ones with him? My awesome sauce is totally adorkable roller skating, not even rollerblades, old school baby, the return of Herschel's watch, our sister soldiers, yay, Maggie, Sasha, and Enid. First kisses, walker tractor pull, and above all else, I am Maggie Ree. Oh my god, I literally jumped up and cheered. The weak sauce, which was not actually weak, but perfectly perfect in his utter patheticness, is Gregory. He is a class A butt kisser. But I love what a miserable weasel he is. He's just so perfect, and I love to hate him in a way that I'm supposed to love hate Negan. He's just so swarmy, I thought he was going to wet himself when Simon made him kneel down. That's my review for this week. I enjoyed this episode. Can't wait to hear what you guys think about it. And have a happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
You too.
Yes. I have to chime in. I mean, I already gave it, you know, well, I chimed in with Ken's awesome sauce. Maggie Ree, I think when she said that, that might have been the high point for me of the first five episodes of this season. I just absolutely loved it when she said that.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, you had some good awesome sauce there. So
yes.
For sure. All right.
Anyway, thanks, Lara, for your voicemail. That was amazing, especially when you were talking to Jesus. All right, we have one more voicemail. Yay for audio feedback. Yay, yay, yay. And it is from Kathy.
Yes, and I did not get a chance to listen to this, so this is the first time I'm hearing it.
Yay.
This is Kathy from Tucson, Arizona. And I'm calling for Ruthie and Brian's The Walking Dead talk through. And my feedback is this. Hi, Brian and Ruthie. In celebration of such a good episode, following such a bad episode, this is Kathy Castellare from Tucson, Arizona. And I'm Malika's mom. And I'd like to leave some feedback for you for Season 7, Episode 5, The Go-Getters. I thought this was a good episode. I'll give it 9 Carl kisses as a rating. And I was glad to see Maggie and Sasha come to their own in terms of being leaders and getting into the action. The tractor stunt was absolutely fabulous. But I think my favorite part of the episode was Gregory and Simon confronting each other and Gregory's subjugation by Simon. I thought that that was the way to tell that particular story. The acting was fabulous. And Jesus was great in those scenes as well. The Awesome Sauce, The Rise of Maggie Rhee, and The Weak Sauce is, where are they getting all this gas all the time for these for the tractor? So I thought that was pretty ridiculous. All in all, like I said, I gave it a rating of 9 Carl Kisses, and I thought it was a good episode.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
We usually call you Kathleen, but now we will call you Kathy. So thank you, Malika's mom, Kathy.
Yes, Malika's mom, Kathy.
Great, great to hear from you and from Malika. For I know Malika, it's her first time this season, but Kathleen, we've heard from, or Kathy, sorry, we've heard from you a couple times. But great to hear your voice, definitely.
I know, from Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, from Tucson, Arizona. That is it for our feedback this week.
Indeed.
All right. Well, anyway, there were a few things that weren't covered in feedback that I will say really quickly. Carl's dart throwing was kind of weird because usually when you throw darts, you close an eye. So that I don't know if they were trying to show that his depth perception was a bit off, but that whole thing was a bit off. But I think it was more of sort of a Chekhov's dart, if you want to call it. I think what we will see happen is that Carl will get a clear shot to kill Negan and miss.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if that's for sure, but that's, I think that's what it's predicting, a foreshadowing of that.
Yeah, I can see that. My only thing I would say is that everybody has a dominant eye, and your dominant eye is usually the one that's not blinking. So if his dominant eye is the eye that got destroyed, then that would be why he has such terrible depth perception.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the fact that he only has one eye now. That might be
well,
part of
it, mean,
too.
With the darts.
Okay. I thought that Rick's thank you at the end of the kiss with Michonne was a little weird. It was like, I don't know. I thought that was a weird thing for him to say to her. But I noticed that Carl's hair, we mentioned it last episode, but it is almost as long as Enid's hair at this point and has much more body. It is time for a haircut, Carl. Maybe Negan is going to cut your hair for you.
Oh, gosh.
Or at least arrange for it.
I guess the only thing that the only other extra thing that I wanted to say was I don't understand, you know, why that they're acting the way that they are. Didn't they want Gregory dead?
Yeah, and I guess maybe that was Simon's way of saying that, you know, it's a regime change. You know, it's new management over at the, you know, Hilltop managing or whatever you want to call it, the leagues on, you know, so he was just trying to say that, okay, well, but the thing is, you know, I watched that again today, that scene, and it was kind of like Simon suspected that the Hilltop was involved in that whole thing at the outpost, but he couldn't prove it. So he was it like, was almost like when he showed him the scotch, he didn't push any further, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of that's how I interpreted it, that, you know, he suspected they were involved, but he couldn't prove it. And then when, you know, he got the scotch, he just kind of left it alone. But I'm sure he's going to be watching Gregory very closely.
Yeah, definitely.
And one other thing I had, and this is more of an observation, not to this episode, but to the whole Saviors thing in general. I am wondering logistically. It seems to be something that keeps coming up with in my head for various TV shows. Logistically, how many settlements has Negan put the squeeze on at this point? We know at this point right now that he has three active settlements, but are there more, and how many more? And when does a squeezed settlement become an outpost? You know, seems like they get converted at some point to, you know, an outpost like the satellite station was.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to understand how this whole thing works, because it's not terribly obvious to me at this point. And hopefully we'll find out more as time goes on, but that is it.
Okay. I can't really think of anything else that I wanted to say. I did like that that Enid did not tell them that Carl went with her. She was like, I went by myself. And they didn't question her on it, I think, because they know that she's done that before.
Yeah, and to that, Matt, to that end, I wondered, like, did Carl and Enid leave notes at in Alexandria to explain where the heck they went to? You know?
Doubtful.
I always wonder that. That always seems to be that trope of doing things and not explaining them to people. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think, though, that had she said, no, Carl came with me, then, you know, the whole what happened to Carl, why is he not with you now, blah, blah, blah thing would have come out, and Maggie and Sasha would have felt obligated to go after Carl, I think, which is why I think it's a good idea that she did not. That she said, you know, no, I was by myself.
Yeah. All right.
All right. If you guys would like to give us your theories or feedback, you can do that by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit us text or audio or use the SpeakPipe widget. You can leave feedback in our Facebook group on the feedback thread. And the deadline for that is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired, because Tuesday night is the night we record. And we got one that just squeaked in there, so it probably came in sort of last minute and got sent to us last minute. So, but thank you.
Well, we got it.
Appreciate that. I know, we got it this time, and we love getting audio feedback, so thank you. You can connect with us by going to Facebook. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. It's where we get most of our feedback and have lots of fun and doing stuff and things.
And we are approaching 200 people in the Facebook group. We're at 196 at the time of recording.
Yeah. So help us get to magic 200. We are on Twitter, as we said, a little bit at Walking Dead GSM and Google Plus Walking Dead GSM, but mainly Facebook. I have a hard time with Twitter, so, you know.
Anyway. I usually do the Twitter thing.
Yeah. If you would like to show some support for us, the best way you can do that is to give us a rating or review in iTunes by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes. It really helps us to get noticed and helps us to move up or down, or hopefully up in the iTunes rankings as far as podcasts go, and in the Sea of Walking Dead podcasts. It would be nice to get noticed a little bit. Let's see. We are still doing our fundraiser for multiple sclerosis. It is goldenspiralmedia.com/MS, as in multiple sclerosis. And if you would like to donate to my GoFundMe so I can now pay my car insurance, since I jumped the gun on the computer a little bit, that is GoFundMe.com/RuthiePodcasts.
And don't forget Amazon, because it's getting near the time when people are starting to use Amazon.
Yes.
And what is our affiliate name? It is...
Hang on a second. I got it right here. Awesome. It is... T or the FR08-20. So THE, F is in fringe, R is in fringe, 08-20.
Yeah. And on the, if you look up the blog post, we always have a link to the amazing affiliate extension, I think it is. Is that what it's called?
It is amazing affiliate link.
Yes.
Chrome extension.
That just makes it easier for you to use the Chrome, use the affiliate when you go to Amazon. So.
Yep. All right. Why don't you give us our next episode?
It is season 7, episode 6, Swear. And I don't know if that means an expletive is going to be coming, or are we swearing something? I don't know. But we don't know who it's written or directed by, but the description is someone stumbles upon a brand new society unlike anything seen before. Dun, dun, dun. And we know that that someone is Tara and Heath. So it's some people, not one.
Anyway. Somebody as well. It's at least Tara, according to the extra scene.
And there are two extra scenes, actually.
Oh, well.
And she's in both.
Okay, great. All right.
So that brings us to the end of our episode. Until next time, I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.